Okay, Chaya Sara. So we're gonna do a very. We don't have to do a summary of this parsha because we're gonna start right at the beginning. But okay, tell you what happens. Sara dies, and then Avram goes to buy her a burial plot. Right, Avram at this point owns no land in Israel, and he goes and he buys a burial plot, and he does that. It's a difficult negotiation, but he gets it done. It's a siman for all future negotiations that will take place in the land of Israel, how difficult that will be. And then he decides, okay, now the next thing I got to do is find a shidduch for Yitzchak. So he does that too. And then he gets married again. Actually, some say remarried, Keturah, but some say it's remarried to Hagar, has a few more kids, and then Avram passes away. So the very beginning of the parsha is the death of Sarah. So let's take a look at source number one. The Torah tells us, "Vayu chayei Sarah, meya shana, ve'esrim shana, ve'sheva shanim, shnei chayei Sarah." We're going to talk a lot about this pasuk, okay? Because there's a lot of trouble. This pasuk is troubling for many, many reasons. We'll see. "Vatama Sarah beKiryas Arba hi Chevron beEretz Kanan." Sarah dies in Kiryas Arba, which is Chevron in Eretz Kanan. "Vayavo Avram mispolus Rabba livkosan." Avram comes to eulogize his wife and to cry for her. And then what happens, the story continues, etc. Avram then gets up to purchase Maras HaMachpelah. But I want to focus on the first pasuk. V'yu chayei Sarah, me'ya shana, ve'asrim shana, ve'sheva shanim, shnei chayei Sarah. Let's talk about that pasuk. Let's just list the problems.
One, two,
what are your problems
three,
so
four,
far?
Four times shana.
Okay, shana four times. Good. So there's Shana, Shana, Shanim, and Shnei. By the way, it's the word.
Shnei is two?
I'm just saying, we have the word, some form of the word Shana four times, but it's not the same word. Shana twice, and then Shanim, and then Shnei.
Yeah.
Right? It's all the same word, but it's Shnei. Shnei Chayei Sarah.
Right.
And years also. Also years.
Yes, but if we're saying she lived 127 years.
Yeah.
That's one block of time. Why are we now saying
Shnei Chayei Sarah?
Shnei Chayei Sarah.
Good. Another question. What do you repeat it for? What else? If I want to say someone how old somebody is, what do you usually say? Me'a ve'esrim ve'sheva shana. Ve'sheva shanim. Whatever. 127. 127. I've heard this question before.
Right.
But, Right? And by the way, why me'a shana ve'esrim shana ve'sheva shanim?
Isn't it? It's always.
It's all
Shanim. Should I be Shanim or I'll
be Shana? Yeah.
It's not. Asrim Shana means 20 years. So Sheva Shanim also means 7 years.
Mm-hmm.
So why are you telling me Shanim here and Shana there? Good. What does the word Vayihiyu mean?
It will be.
Also weird. It should say
Vahayu.
Right? Or v'chayei Sarah, haya, whatever, like right, v'yihiyu, they're gonna be. Also weird. Good. It's a lot of trouble with this pasuk, right?
Teacher would have corrected that.
Well, this pasuk would have gone anywhere in grammar class. Yeah, nowhere.
Rabbi Kron, she didn't. In pasuk Aleph, it says v'yihiyu, and then pasuk Bet, it says v'tamat. So maybe it kind of.
She had. Oh, so she was living 127 years.
Okay.
She was living 127 years. These are the years of Sarah, and then she dies.
Yeah.
Okay. That helps you with what?
The Vayihiyu.
Okay. Okay. Good.
And is that Vayihi like predicting something bad is going to happen, like Vayihi?
Okay. Good.
Similar?
Right. Good question. Right. Vayihi b'mei Achashverosh. Right. We're going to talk about that in a second.
Yeah.
We're going to get there. Okay. So there's a lot of weird stuff in this pasuk. Okay. A lot of weird stuff. Good. I don't have to convince you that there's a lot of weird stuff. We're going to see 3 to 4, well, I don't know, a couple of interesting things. We're not going to see an Ozan Tower this week. No, Rav Sarutskin. But I want to show you a couple of things. First, let's take a look at Rashi.
Is this the only parak that is named after a woman?
Ooh. Only Parsha is named after a woman.
Yeah.
Yes.
No, but Ruth is like, I'm saying in Megillah.
Ruth is in Megillah. Esther is also named after Esther. But the only parsha named after a woman, I think so. It's also called Chayei Sarah.
Is that to like make it known how important she was, and she's so much more important than tons of other women in Tanakh that she got her own.
And her own parsha. That's a good question. Because we do, Chazal do talk about that, why certain people get parshas named after them. I mean, to be fair, like, you know, like, Balak also gets a parsha named after her. Yisro, right. But Yisro's a good, Yisro's a very important person. So yeah, but certain people do get parshios named after them. And Sarah is one of them. So it is something to say.
I'm just thinking that most of the parsha, like, this is just the beginning.
Just the beginning.
The rest of it doesn't talk about
it. The rest of it is actually
Sarah.
The rest of it is the,
legacy of?
After.
It's after. After
fact. Effects.
Yeah, so I was looking for a different one.
But it's the what happens
after.
Because of the fact that she died. This is sort of, that's like, the two, it's like, parts of Chayei Sarah is basically a wedding and a funeral. That's basically what it is. It's a wedding and a funeral. Right? Yeah, very good, right? Just one wedding and a funeral.
Right.
But yeah, one wedding, one funeral. But that's basically what it is, right? It's a funeral and a wedding, right? It's she gets buried, it's the purchase of the plot, and then he gets married. And but again, all that is about the legacy, right? Because Avram starts to feel like, ooh, like this is, right? When Sarah dies, he starts to feel his own age, right? His own legacy, right? So he goes after those two. So that's why this is a different conversation, I think we said this before, a while ago. But that's why the two things that he does. Right, he's been promised two things, land and children, and he has neither.
That.
But he has neither of those things are moving along. Mm-hmm. So he purchases the first land himself, and he finds a wife for his son. It's not Hashem is waiting for him to partner with him. That's why one of the arguments.
He has to
last before.
Make it happen.
So fine,
okay.
But good.
Sorry,
no, that's good. It's good, Chazar.
Are we doing anything with the other two psukim?
No.
Because I mean, I had a problem.
Hold the thoughts.
We have
a few different tests, I guess.
But yes, but yeah, but why? What you could ask? It's okay. What do you? No, just
nope.
Wondering.
Nope. We'll
yeah.
Stay on topic.
Let's stay on this one. Look at Rashi. Look at Rashi. Okay. And again, you know this Rashi also, but there's a lot. This is we learned this Rashi. People learned this Rashi in third grade, and like there's more to it, right? It's got to be than the fourth grade understanding. Vayu chayei Sarah. So Rashi's also bothered. Shana, what's going on here? Each one should be darshined. Each one should be understood and taken apart and explained. Bas mea kibas esrim lachet. And when she was 100, she was like a 20-year-old when it comes to sin. Why? Ma bat esrim lochata. Share eina bat onshin, af bat mea below chait. So first of all, this is a little secret nobody knows.
I don't know about the Esrim. I mean, there were no troubled teenagers in Rashi's age.
Good. Yeah. So what does it mean, no sin? What it means, it doesn't mean that 20-year-olds don't do any averos. We know that less than 20-year-olds do a lot of averos. But what it means is that when a person hits 20 years old, Chazal say, it's sort of like a restart on your... You're bar mitzvah at 13 or bar mitzvah at 12, but I always joke about this, right? I always talk about kids in bar mitzvah. You're now a Jewish adult. You can meet a little kid. They're like a pitzel. You see a bar mitzvah girl? She's not an adult. And most of them, right? Bar mitzvah boy, they're like, hi, Yomer. They're not a bar mitzvah. They're not an adult. It's not true. So there's a certain level of responsibility that takes place. I actually heard a beautiful word a couple weeks ago. Rim Seik, the Rav there said, that the language of God, to be a gadol, means a person who can look out for somebody else. Godless is always seen in my ability to look out for others, right? So maybe part of like the godless of bar mitzvah is I stop looking only at myself and I start looking, I'm able to start to understand the needs of other people. But the bottom line is that until you're 20, you sort of get like a little pass on your averus a little bit. Not exactly, not responsible, but like you hit 20, you kind of get a restart, and at 20, now you're really, really responsible, which makes a lot of sense because your prefrontal lobe is not. Ask any high school kid now; they tell you it's not my fault. My prefrontal lobe is not fully developed. It's not my fault. I'm in high school, but they're not totally wrong, but that's what this means. I think that 20 means kibat kuf for chait. It means that. Just like a 20-year-old sort of like restarts their, you know, they're not really responsible. They're not bar onshin, really. They're not responsible for the dumb things that they do. So too, Sarah at 100, it's basically like saying she's 100 like 12. That's how we would say it, right? Just like until you're 12, you didn't have any averos, so 100 is the same. So 100 to 20, it's the same. She was so pure, such a tzadikas, she hadn't done averos. Okay. Ubas esrim kibasheva liyofi. And a 20-year-old, at 20, she was like a 7-year-old in terms of her beauty.
In terms of what?
Beauty.
Oh.
Yofi. Also funny. A 7-year-old is...
20-year-olds aren't beautiful.
Yeah, it's like a 7-year-old. So what does that? What does that mean?
Their teeth at their
it's funny. They're so cute. At 7, they're cute. It's not beautiful.
They're like, not physically. Funny. At 7, they're still pure and innocent and sweet and delicious little people. By 20, they might have an attitude.
A little jaded attitude. Yeah, exactly. Good. Okay, but my favorite one is the next line in Rashi. Says Rashi, Shnei Chayei Sarah, and these were 127 years, were the years of Sarah's life, says Rashi, Kulan Shavin Latova. All of them, all 127 years were equally good.
But that doesn't explain what we mean by Shnei Chayei Sarah. Anyway, like it's...
Huh? Kulan Shavin Latova? Right. Did you meet Sarah, man? not such an easy life. Right? Not such an easy life. A very hard life. We don't know all of it. We just know some of it. Right? Doesn't have any children until she's 90. Right? She's has trouble with Hagar. She gets kidnapped by 2 different kings. She has a lot of hard stuff in her life. And by the way, according to the Medrash, why is this story of Sarah dying here right after last week's Parsha? What, at the end of last week's Parsha is the Akedah? Right, the last week's parsha ended the Akedah. So the Medrash says that the reason Sarah dies here is because somebody comes, the Satan, somebody, whatever, and lets her whispers in her ear that Avram didn't tell her where she was going. Because, you know, sounds like not a great move. I don't know, but Avram's Avram Avinu. I wouldn't, you know. But he doesn't tell her where he's going, and someone comes and clues her in that Avram went to sacrifice her son. Parcha Nishmasa, says the Medrash. And at that point, she died. So if you want to add to the tzaris, she dies through tzara. Right? She dies through thinking that her only son has been murdered by her husband.
That's what I got into last week.
Yeah, hard. Yeah, exactly. But I'm just saying, kulan shavin latova, very hard. Very hard. That's a hard, that's just hard. I mean, shnei chayei sarah, I guess what Rashi's trying to say is that they're all, now we've summed them all up. What's the one thing to sum up Sarah's life? Everything was gishmak.
Well, and this is where, I have...
It was great.
A point, and then, the argument to that point. Well, maybe Rashi's point is that, because Sarah believed in Hashem, she thought, she perceived, no matter what happened to her, she still perceived it as Latova. The idea of Gamzu. I always thinking Gamzu Latova, not Gamze Yavor. Everything that happens, it is for the best. You may not know why, but it's for the best. So maybe she really believed that.
Maybe she was like that. So for her, it was Tova.
Right.
Okay.
But at the same time, I'm that's not the image... That's not the perception we get based on the stories we have
of Sarah.
Of her. And how she doesn't seem to be perceiving things as good.
She doesn't always come across as that personality necessarily. Yeah.
So I don't know.
Okay.
Where did Rashi get this from?
It comes from a Medrash. He's going from a Medrash. But I want to show you, before we deal with Rashi, I'm gonna sidetrack us for a minute. So I want to show you...
Before we deal with Rashi.
We're going to deal with Rashi. But I want to show you 2 other Mefarshim, the Orchayim and the Kli Yakar, I hadn't really seen these pieces in them before, and I thought they each say very interesting. They're answering some of our questions. Okay. Neither of them will answer in summation, but I think have some very interesting points that I had not seen before. So thank you, very interesting. The Or Chaim HaKadosh, just so we know who he is, the Or Chaim HaKadosh was Rabbi Chaim Ibn Attar, was a rabbi in Morocco in the 1700s. He's called HaKadosh. Someone's called HaKadosh when they are like a Kabbalist, a master of Kabbalah. So he was considered a very, very, Kadosh person, holy man, holy rabbi. But the Or Chaim is held in tremendous esteem. And he says the following, Vayu Chayei Sarah. Tzarech Ladas, we have to know. Lama Amar Vayu. Why do you say Vayu? Velo Amar Kaseder HaAmur B'chol HaTzadikim. Vayechi Adam, Vayechi Shem. It just says, they lived and they died. It usually does. Vayechi Adam, and then Vayamas. Right? And then he died. So why does he say anything? Vayechi Sarah. Right? Vayu Chayei Sarah. Just say Vayechi Sarah. What's the difference? Okay. Or say, Oh Ye Amer, Eila Shnei. Right? Eila Shnei Chayei Sarah, which is does by Avram Avinu. So say, why this unique language by Sarah? And he writes, "Achenit ba'er al derech omram zal medrash tanchuma shesibas misasa hayak keshodia akedas Yitzchak." Right? The reason she died, the Medrash says, is because she heard about Akeyes Yitzchak. The kimat shelo nishchat, and that he almost was killed. Parcha nishmasa, she died at that moment. Ukafizeh misa sarah haisa mitzad shmuas Yitzchak. If she, her death came because of hearing about the death, about what happened with Yitzchak, hu shiramaz ba'amro vayihiyu lashon sa'ar. Shiramaz al ha'amur. That the language of vayihiyu chayesara is in some way like a negative language. Why? Because she died with this negative experience. She died with this negative thing. Okay, one answer. Ve'omro, and he says later on, Chayei Sarah, why is it called Chayei Sarah, Vayu Chayei Sarah, the life of Sarah? Ki atzadikim mechayim yimehem, v'arishayim yimehem mechayim osa. Tzadikim, what do? They mechayim yimehem. That's, they bring life to their days. Right? They infuse life into every day. And Rishayim, their days bring life into them. But the point is why it's called Vayu Chayei Sarah, because it's a reference to how she gave life to her days, basically. Fine. Okay, it's nice.
You would think they would write that then about all...
All Tzadikim.
Right.
Why not just Sarah?
Right.
Okay, fair point. Fair point. By the way, many point out the irony that the parsha that, like, you know, really goes all out talking about Sarah and gives her all this praise is the parsha in which she dies, right? That we talk so much about her life,
right? And
specifically,
it never talks in the first sukkim about what good she did.
That's also how
we just treat. I don't know. That's human interaction in general. Like you say, the nice things about someone at the funeral.
It is how we treat it. We don't appreciate someone until they're gone. Very often, it's true. But then he says more than that. He says the following. Va'omro od shnei chayei sarah. And also, why does it say shnei chayei sarah? Lefi ma shepirashti sha'amar vayu lagid shemesa machmas sar yagid, that she died, because we said vayu, because she died from this terrible news. Yagid ha-katuv ba'omro shnei chayei v'gomer perish sheshalma shnei chayeha shekatzvula. Right? It's come to teach us that she finished up, right? Her days were full that were given to her. But this is the reason why. Meaning, it's not like she died early. Sarah comes to say, this was how she was supposed to live. She was going to die anyways at that time. It wasn't like her life was cut short by this news. That's just the...
Not a great way to end it.
The way she died. It's not a pleasant way to end it. Right? But that's why he said, that's why the puzzle comes to emphasize how she... That this would have been her whole life, okay? But some say that actually, no, that the news actually did make her life shorter. To show what the chesed Hashem does with the people who are close to him. I think this line is very important. I found it very meaningful right now, actually. That any tzaddik who doesn't live their full years, so they should know that Hashem doesn't take away from that tzaddik what they would have accomplished. It's a fascinating concept. It actually almost doesn't make sense. Right? But that, ilu chaye shanav shlemim, meaning that, again, because nothing's shorter than it should have been, because Hashem decides. But there's a certain sense of, like, right, and I was thinking about it just like right now with all these young soldiers, etc., passing away and like leaving families that feels like so much unfinished life. And like, what a meaningful, I never heard this idea before, that like someone who, you know, died for whatever reason seems shorter than it should have been, that Hashem almost like says, look, I know what you were going to do. I know what your life was supposed to be. And you get the schar. As if you did it. Okay, that's not, I don't know how much nechama that is to people. But it's a meaningful thing to say, because there's so much this sense of like there was so much life that was ahead of so many people. And this is not just true in the war, it's true all the time. It happens like this sometimes, Chalila. And like the sense of life that should have been lived. And the Or Chaim HaKadosh says that what this means to say is that, yes, her life was cut short. And it says, Shnei Chayei Sarah. Yeah, these are her years, but Vayu, they were full, and almost they're like fuller than they were, right? Because there was so much left to be done. V'yashlim lo secharo al hashanim shalo pahal behem davar. And he's going to, it's a medrash tanchuma, that they get, you know, counted as if they did more, even though they didn't have the opportunity to. Ki yomar elav ilu hayisi chai ta'avti tavasi hayisa l'sagel davar tov. Because the person can say to Hashem, you didn't let me live long enough. If I would have lived longer, I would have done more. And Hashem says, okay. V'hu omro shnei chayei sarah. Kivin al hashar shakosh no se hayu chayim imena ve'iru mikvoda. Right, that there was all this time that could have been longer, right, and it was impacted by the choices that she made, and that was so impactful. And I thought this is you know, and it's a nice answer to our question, but I just thought that the idea is so I find amazing that the Medrash says such a thing, which I guess it makes sense. I'd never heard it before, this idea that someone whose life is cut short, whatever that means, but we know what it means, is given like a certain, they have a taina, like Hashem Baruch Hu, they can say, it's not fair. And Hashem responds, okay, so I know what you wanted to do, and I'll count it like you did. Interesting.
I wonder what would be more comforting to their moms. Argument that whatever top kid they had, they accomplished their top kid.
Right, they say the opposite, right? That the person filled
Arichas Yamin. Or their 6-year-old children.
I don't know. I'm not saying it as a nechama because I don't pretend to be able to offer a nechama. It's too hard.
I guess it doesn't extend the same to a Russia, right? If they life got cut short, would they be extended as a
It's interesting you say that. It's interesting you say that.
I could have changed. Why not? They could say to Hashem, right. I would have changed my ways. I wouldn't have been a Russian.
Oh, I thought you meant the opposite. Life. If they would have lived longer, they would have done more bad stuff.
Right. Right. That's what I mean. But they could argue that I wouldn't have done more bad stuff.
No, but in terms of the Russia point, though, I think I would argue it wouldn't be true.
Hashem doesn't do that.
Well, what Hashem does do, right, and this is connected to the idea that Hashem, like they say a person is, Chazal say, the Gemara says, that if a person's on their way to do a mitzvah, and they get something happens, right. It's not their fault. You're on your way to visit someone in the hospital and you get a flat tire. Right? So again, we don't do it so that we get, you know, points. But you do get the points, right? Yeah. Because you were on your way and you got Hakadosh Baruch Hu is mitzaref machshava tova lemaisa. Hashem takes your intentions to do the right thing and he counts like he did the right thing. He doesn't do that for the bad thing. If you're in the car on the way to a robbery and you get a flat tire, it doesn't count as if you did the robbery. Correct. So that's why I was saying to myself, to me, it would make sense if Hashem is consistent, whatever you want to say, in Chazal's explanations here, that it would make sense to say that for a tzaddik, you wouldn't say it for a rasha. You would say it for the good things about a person and not for their negative things. But I just found this so remarkable. I never heard this before. Mm-hmm. And so I just wanted to share it with you. Let's take a look at the Kli Yakar, source number 4. Also says a couple of interesting things, and then I'm going to show you something from the Rav. Why Mea Shana Veshim Shana Vesheva Shanim? Why does that change? 120 is Shana, the 7 is Shanim. Why? The Fisha Chasidim Afa Pisha Koyemeim Shlemim Mikomakam Yoserhim Konim Shlemus Bishanim Hachronim. Fascinating. That holy people, even though their whole life is full, when they get towards the end of their life, when they're older, they actually acquire greater quality of life, in a certain sense. What it means is, because, right, as you get closer, why? Meaning there's a certain higher level of quality of life as a person reaches an older age. Why is that? As you get older, you become wiser and wiser. You have more to share with the younger people in your life. You have more to give over to others. You've acquired something that other people don't have.
Experience.
It's life experience. Mm-hmm. And you're able to give that over. Or because they're getting closer to the end of life. Right? But the point is that al kain kol hashanim hakonim heim nechshavim l'shana achat be'erach hashanim ha'achronim lefi shemitzad riboy hashlemo shenikne behem gam hashanim domot lemirubo. That basically the 100 years and the 20 years, so that's like shana. That's like, it's a little, it doesn't have as much, okay, it has quality. right? But if you get to Sheva Shanim, those last 7 years, mm-hmm. has a higher quality to it. Doesn't mean in terms of the experience. The experience might be more difficult for people. It's sickness and aging, it's harder. But in terms of the quality of the person, who they are, they've become, you know, able to give over, and they have so much wisdom and so much to offer the world, even more in those last number of years. That's so special.
To change the subject, he had a last name.
Who? Lunch. What? Remember?
Last name?
Lunschitz.
Yes, but I'm saying, at what point did people get last names?
Oh, last names? I don't know. I don't know. That's a good question.
Yeah. Have you heard of John Maxwell?
No.
Okay. So he was a pastor, mm-hmm. and then he shifted gears to become like a leader and basically preaching leadership
life
and values
person,
of leadership. And he has like a lot. He has a very deep faith in God, and really like any of his like religious stuff focuses more on God uh-huh. than the other guy. So anyway, part of his whole spiel is like being able to multiply the value you can add to others when you're in leadership. That like if you have just, you know, like a couple people reporting to you or like a small circle, you can add value, you know, by like replicating yourself, or you know, you can do it like plus one or plus two. But if you're like leading leaders, then you could really multiply your impact. So I feel like that's kind of ties in nicely to here. Mm-hmm. Like maybe these 120 years, like, and looking at Sarah's life also, it wasn't like the biggest, I mean, Avram had this like big sphere because he had all these people who followed him and like all like the people he made when he was in
Haran.
Yeah. But like Sarah hadn't had children except for Yitzhak, and she hadn't made this whole long life, but I guess I'm curious, like, what was in that last 7 years specifically that made it so special?
So it may,
I don't know.
I feel like
this idea of maybe, like, it really was multiplying. I think this idea of chassidim, like, it definitely makes sense.
Multiplying by that point, influence.
Think about how many, like, great or great grandchildren chassidim probably have by that age. Like, mm-hmm. you've truly multiplied, and your days are so much fuller because of that, and you have such a bigger sphere of influence, and, like, talmidim now have their own talmidim, and you've really, like, multiplied your impact. So this idea resonates nicely with
me. Yeah. You see it all the time. But by the way, just to be clear, the pasuk says, nefesh asher asu b'charan. So the Torah does include her in, like, they're like partners in this, as far as we know. Right? Avram and Sarah are partners in all that they do. But yeah, I totally agree with you. It's like this ability to have impact. It's like the story they tell, the story about
Yaakov
Kamenetsky.
She was a good rabbi.
Yes, definitely. Mm-hmm. They say Rial Kamenetsky, right? You've probably heard the story. He's on an airplane. You've heard the story. He's on this airplane.
He told us the story.
Yeah, and he's with his grandson. His grandson's like, Zadie, can I get you your cup of coffee? Can I get you a paper? Can I get you? And there's a guy sitting next to him on the plane. He's like, what do you? There's another older gentleman. He says, What did you do to this guy that he's treating like my grandchildren don't even talk to me? So Rial Kamenetsky says, he goes, that's the difference between you and me. I'll tell you the difference. He says, what? He says, in my religion, we believe that the older you are, the closer you are to Sinai. Right? He said, in the secular world, you believe the older you are, the closer you are to chimpanzees. Right? Meaning that the more we develop, we're smarter and smarter and smarter as we get old, as we get younger, right? The next generation. Right? He says, as opposed to us, we believe that I hold something that to give them. Right, I have a certain wisdom that I can give over, and that's why we treat people who are older in our religion with such esteem. Okay, I'm not saying it's bad about everybody else, but similar idea, right? There's a certain way that we treat people who have a certain amount of life experience, etc. He does say, to be fair, you know, and the next one, Davar Acher, why is it called Shanim? Lefish Yamim Ha'achronim Hem Yemei Tzar. He does say because it's physically more difficult. So maybe it's called Shanim because it can feel longer, mm-hmm. right? It can feel less. It's also more difficult. So it could go both ways. But also, just I think such a beautiful idea. You may shana Shanim. Why Shanim? Because there's so much more influence, so much more you've gained in those older years that you can give over to somebody else. But I want to share with you one more idea that comes from the Medrash and comes from the Rav. Source number 5 is the Medrash. This Medrash says as follows: Rabbi Akiva haya yoshev v'dorish, Rabbi Akiva was giving a drasha, he was giving a shir. V'atzibor misnamnim. And everybody was starting to fall asleep. Okay? I've never had that experience ever. Bikesh la'orvan. He wanted to wake them up. Yeah, exactly. Made me feel better. He wanted to, if they slept, remember Akiva spoke.
Yeah, sure.
So, Bikesh la'orvan. So he wanted to wake them up. So Amar, so he said the following. Ma rasa Esther shetimloch al sheva ve'esrim umeya medina. How did Esther?
Have you brought this before?
Yes. Yes. Okay. Yes. 127 provinces. Elatavo Esther shahaisa bas bita shal sara shahaisa kuf v'chaf v'zayin. Esther is the great granddaughter of Sarah who lived 127 years. V'timloch al kuf v'chaf v'zayin medinos. And she was now going to rule over 127 provinces. There's a lot of answers. I gave a different answer to this question last year. I spoke about this last year. In Shul, I gave a different answer. But obviously the question is like, what?
This is what's going to wake him up.
This is what 127? For to be fair, it's the only two examples that I know of 127 in all of Tanakh. It's 127 years of Sarah's life and 127 of the provinces that Esther ruled over. And by the way, you might ask me, so happens, could it just be coincidence? It could be. But you don't have to mention them in the Megillah. I don't care how many provinces it was. 127, who cares? Right? But so why make the connection between the two? So take a look at the Rav in source number 6. The Rav in source number 6 is answering the first question. What's this Shnei Chayei Sarah, the 120 and 7, what's that about? And he says the following. Shnei Chayei Sarah refers to the lives of Sarah. She was always a 100-year-old adult, a 20-year-old woman, and a 7-year-old child. In the realm of chemical processes, there's no way to retain biological youth in a middle-aged person, nor can the pattern of the middle age be preserved at old age. By the way, so we're going back to our Rashi. Okay, so now we're going to answer Rashi. In our original Rashi question, they're all good? Like, what's that about? In the realm of the unfolding of the spirit, however, it is possible to see youth and ripe old age, or even childhood and youth, as simultaneous experiences. The advanced in years quite often display spiritual restlessness and intensity, and the young are sometimes characterized by cautious wisdom and sober judgment. An older person may be wonderfully childlike, with a dreamer's naivete and excitement. The idealism of youth quite often shines through the eyes of the gray beard. In fact, great people are sometimes great children. They are rich and multi-talented because of their age. They are beautiful because of their honesty and sincerity. Sarah was concurrently 7, 20, and 100 years old. She was simultaneously very old and very young, representing the aged, the adult, and the child. J.M. Barrie's Peter Pan was a boy. By the way, I love that. Like, the Rav didn't see the movie Peter Pan. He, like, read the book, you know? J.M. Barrie's Peter Pan was a boy who refused... Like, did anyone know that's written by J.M. Barrie? I never knew that. Was a boy who refused to grow up and assume responsibility. In contrast, Sarah at 20 was mature and fully developed, both intellectually and emotionally. She was energetic, bold, and daring. Yet the adult in Sarah did not destroy the child, right? That sometimes we think you become an adult, so now the child goes away, right? And that didn't happen with her. In the deep recesses of her personality, no matter how developed, no matter how capable and brilliant, no matter how attractive and ingenious, always resided an innocent child. The adult might have reached the highest peak of intellectual greatness or growth, yet it did not interfere with the secret presence of a child in sorrow. Notwithstanding the maturation of her natural wisdom, she retained within her the young girl she had been once upon a time. In times of need and crisis, the young, bold, courageous girl came to the fore and took over. Youth represents idealism. The young are committed unconditionally, arrogantly, defying the world. Abraham, like Sarah, was a youth all his life. He divided the society in which he was a part. He shattered the idols as an act of holy arrogance. He dared to be an iconoclast in a pagan society that worshipped icons. The ability to experience childhood, youth, and old age concurrently is a sign of the covenantal community. In fact, Chazal say that when Avram and Sarah lived in a certain place, they created coins. And on the one side of the coin was an old man and an old woman. On the other side was a young boy and a young girl, right? The same idea that there's a certain sense that, like, when we become a certain age, so now we, right, I'm not an idealist anymore. I'm not, that's for young people. I don't do that, right? Or young people who are like, I'm not interested in tradition or what anyone older than me has to say or wisdom, etc. And what they were able to do was to put them all together. The Rav talks about it in terms of the difference between learning and tefillah. right? That Talmud Torah requires intellectual capacity that adults have more than kids, right? But tefillah requires a certain, you know, ability to submit and a naivete, right? A recognition that I don't control everything, that I'm not so smart, that I don't know everything. And that being able to put both together at the same time, to be youthful and old and mature at the same time, is a tremendous value. And that's what the Chazal are really telling us about Sarah, 100 like 20 like 7, was that she was able to put all of them together. Right? You don't have to be, I tell stories about Rav Chaim Brisker, that he used to get on his knees and play horsey with children in the community. Like, he would get on his knees in Brisk, and they would go on his back. You know, like an ability to be both a child and an adult at the same time. And that's what the Chazal are trying to tell us. But what I was thinking is that perhaps what this is really telling us is that Sarah's ability to adapt, right? How does this fit to Kulan Shavu Latova? It was all good, right? So that comes when you have an ability to adapt, right? In a way that usually only younger people are more flexible and able to adapt. It's not something older people are able to do. I talked on Yontif about Edith Eva Eger. I've spoken about her before, the book The Choice. And her whole life, right, was she was a Holocaust survivor. And then she went through terrible trauma and her experiences in the Holocaust. And then she came out and she had terrible trauma. And that trauma played out in her life. She had a difficult marriage. She had all kinds of difficult things happen when she first came out. And then over time, she decides to become a psychologist, learn about trauma, learn about her own trauma. She actually corresponds with Viktor Frankl. And she ends up on her own figuring out that the way to manage her trauma is not by forgetting everything that's happened in her past, but by learning to manage it and accept it as part of her life. And look at source number 7. It's a very beautiful... She went... Later in life, she's amazing. Yeah, it's amazing. So she's an amazing person. So she was invited to address a group of United States Army chaplains in Germany. And it was going to be held at Hitler's former retreat in the mountains of Bavaria. And she was very nervous, like, should I go, should I not go? But she decides to go and she speaks to 600 chaplains. And this is what she said. People ask me, how did you learn to overcome the past? Overcome? I haven't overcome anything. Every beating, bombing in the selection line, every death, every column of smoke pushing skyward, every moment of terror when I thought it was the end, these live on in me, in my memories and in my nightmares. The past isn't gone. It isn't transcended or excised. It lives on in me. But so does the perspective it has afforded me, that I lived to see liberation because I kept hope alive in my heart. And she basically lives her whole life then, giving hope to other people. And she uses her experience giving that to others. And when I was thinking is that perhaps we can argue that that's the same midah that we find that Sarah has and that Esther has. Sarah and Esther do not live lives that are kulan shavin latova. It's actually very difficult. We don't think about Esther's life after, first of all, while she's there in the palace, and then after she goes ahead and she saves the Jewish people. So where does everybody go? Everyone's happy now and now they can at least live their lives again. And where does Esther go? Nowhere. She stays in the palace for the rest of her life, living with Ahasuerus as her husband. It's horrible. And she basically sacrificed her whole life for Am Yisrael. Her son, actually her grandson, Darius, is the one who ends up writing the letter that allows Am Yisrael to go back to Israel and to eventually build the second base of Mikdash. But, you know, her life was not a cakewalk. Is way worse than that. But yet she finds a way to kind of like find her way through. And I wonder if the Medrash, which connects Sarah to Esther, is making that connection. The Kulan Shavu Latova. Sarah's life was not Kulan Shavu Latova. It's perspective. Right? She was able to persevere through it and make it Tova. Right? The best that she possibly could with all that she had experienced. And that's something that's very much true about, it's true about other people as well, but it's very much true about Esther, right? She's very much, Chazal making that connection, the 127, there's something about, you know, that connection between two people who sacrifice so much and have such a hard life, but in the end of the day, become the progenitors of the future of Am Yisrael in two very different ways. And I think that perhaps that's what Chazal are trying to teach us. Not cool and shalom l'tovah, like it was all great. It was all gushmak. No one's life was all gushmak. There's no person's life who's cool and shalom l'tovah. But if we take the perspective that we want to make it tova, right? If we want to use that choice that Dr. Eger talks about, so then we have a chance at least to take that which is hard, all the hard things that we talk about in Sarah's life, and turn it instead into something that's very, very meaningful. So yeah, it is kind of ironic that we wait till Sarah dies to learn about her life. But in a certain sense, what Chazal are kind of cluing us in here is that there's something very powerful about the way that she did live it. And it's something I think that can be meaningful for all of us. Yeah. Not at all.